Take our Bibles, Revelation 19. Would you go there with me? Revelation 19. Okay, we're going to continue tonight. And I thought I'd just kind of keep the ball rolling here of what's going to happen here towards the end and the layout of this and the order of things. And I have these series, this series of messages I did. I'll just give you my notes as well. Follow along, and I think it's a help. I hope you take it home. Encourage you to look at some of these verses for yourself once again. But Revelation 19, again, if you jump down to verse 17 with me, it says, "And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying unto all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword, notice, proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowls were killed, or filled with their flesh." Now, again, this is a depiction of the, well, I have titled, "The World's Greatest Battle." And so, again, after we are taken up, we go through the seven-year tribulation period of time. As I said already, well, we're up in heaven. We'll be receiving, going through all of that, called the Bema Seat. We'll receive our the crowns. We cast them back at the Lord. We enjoy the marriage supper of the Lamb, all those things. Down on earth, we talked about all that's going to take place during that seven-year period of horrendous, horrendous time. And then after that, again, you know, we come back with the Lord. The Lord will descend and touch down on this earth. We will be with him. And we're going to see this battle that takes place with the armies that are gathered together. Okay, now, Revelation 16 talks a little bit about this. Talking about this area, he says, notice the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Armageddon is literally called the hill or city of Megiddo. The scene of the final destruction of the armies of the earth is the battle plan, Esdraelon, however you say that, which is located in Megiddo. It is famous for two great victories in the Bible. Very interesting. One was the time when Barak defeated the Canaanites there, and it was there that Gideon won the great victory over the Midianites. Isn't that interesting? That'll be right in the same valley, the same place there, that this final stage will play out. Okay. It's also famous for two great disasters, if you can recall this. It was there in the battle against the Philistines that King Saul and his son Jonathan were killed. Several generations later, we read that Josiah, the king of Judah, was killed there by Jehu. Now, in Revelation, it depicts a place of great slaughter, the scene of a terrible retribution upon the wicked. Okay, so very important in Scripture to look at and understand that everything kind of ties together. This is interesting. I have here, since that second paragraph, since sin entered the human race in the Garden of Eden, a battle has been raging. Men have been fighting, killing each other. The history of mankind is marked with rebellion and bloodshed. Notice this. Out of all the centuries of recorded world history, there have been only about 275 years of peace on earth. Isn't that amazing? Out of all the centuries, thousands of years, there's only about 200 years of peace. I mean, today we know that's true, and the same battles are going on, right? This whole thing right now with Ukraine and Russia and all these things, Russia's coming in, bullying their way in once again. People ask, you know, why in the world would he want that little piece of property? And it's because it's a strategic place that he could come and then do his other stuff. We're going to read here in a minute. But it's all planned out, okay? So war and war and war, bloodshed upon bloodshed. Notice that third paragraph. Many great battles have taken place. A number of them are recorded in the Bible. For example here, Hezekiah had a great victory over Sennacherib. 2 Kings 19, the angel of the Lord killed 185,000 fighting men in one night. By the way, what an amazing thing. The power of just one angel was able to go through and wipe out 185,000 men. What an amazing thing. Many others are given. I have here secular history records great battles. You know, the Battle of Arbela in 331, Alexander the Great defeated Darius III. The Battle of Zama in 202 BC, Rome dominated the Mediterranean with the defeat of Hannibal. Come a little closer, it's in 1588, England defeated the Spanish Armada, ended Spain's domination of the seas. The Battle of Saratoga in 1777 paved the way for American independence from England. Waterloo in 1815 defeated Napoleon. By the way, these characters that we're reading throughout world history like this, all of them are great pictures of prominent leaders that have rose to the top only to be defeated. And the ultimate king is Jesus Christ. We're going to see that again. The Battle of Midway in 42 turned around the defeat at Pearl Harbor. Normandy in 1944 broke the Axis and Leyte Gulf, defeated the Japanese Navy. It hurried the end of World War II. And on we could go, talking about the Korean War and Vietnam and leading up to Persian Gulf War, to Iraqi freedom, all these things that have happened over the time, but war after war after war. And some of you may have lost family members and whoever else may be in a war, but over 50, I think it's 58-something thousand men died in Vietnam, and the result of that was a mess. Nothing really came of that, but just thinking about this, and the ultimate thing that man does, he fights and he kills. Man has continued to improve. Notice this, his ability to kill his fellow man in battle. We have now weapons capable of destroying entire cities the size of New York. Isn't that amazing? With just one blast. The Discovery Channel, a while back, they did an article on the B-2 bomber. It has a global capabilities. With aerial refueling, it can stay aloft for up to 36 hours. It can carry approximately 42 bombs, each being 250 times more powerful than the ones dropped on Japan in World War II. Its stealth making it difficult, sometimes even impossible, to detect on a radar. In that case, you would not know it was there until it was too late. Literally, the first warning of its presence would be the blast. I mean, just annihilating people. Isn't that amazing? It has the capability of destroying 42 major cities around the world in one mission. I know Brother Adam may be able to update me on some of that. I don't know. But you think about that. Man, one mission, destroy 42 major cities. But notice, none of this, with all its bloodshed, loss of life, can begin to match the terrible battle of Armageddon, which is to come. We understand and know that. God is ruling and He will rule. This battle will be tremendous. So many things that we see, okay? Now, number one, notice I have here, the battle will involve the whole world. In Joel chapter 3, verse 2, I will also gather all nations. So it's going to be an entire, it's a world war. So people talk about World War III, and that's exactly what it's going to be. It's a world war, right? I mean, just a terrible time. Every nation will descend upon this. Down, notice it says the Valley of Jehoshaphat. The second paragraph there, when we refer to the Battle of Armageddon, we must think of a war rather than just one isolated battle. It's a major war. And after the removal of the Christian from the earth, the church, the head of the European Federation of Nations, will form a peace pact or covenant with Israel. As we already talked about that, this federation is referred to in prophecy as a revival of the old Roman Empire. He's going to unite everybody again, right? He's going to bring everyone together. And the Catholic Church, Roman Catholics, will be right there in the mix, leading up a lot of things. The peace pact will, in effect, give Israel a title to the land and will ensure her dwelling there in safety. This pact will hold for approximately, again, 3.5 years, during the time Israel will enjoy a false peace. This is Satan's imitation of the Messiah's promised peace. Now again, they're going to say, look at all the peace. This must be the Messiah, right? This is exactly who the Messiah is. All the peace we enjoy. The land is at rest. Nobody, Palestinians are not shooting rockets. The PA are not shooting rockets over into us. Hamas and others, they don't, this is great. This is, he promised us peace, and that's the peace. And then that halfway mark, what's he going to do? He's going to turn around on them. You read up maybe in the news recently, there's a fellow from the European Union. He's a representative. He comes down, he's from Germany, but he came down into Israel, inspected and talked with everybody, had, you know, all these things. And he started sympathizing with the Palestinians. Oh, it's the reason that they're shooting rockets into Israel is because Israel's provoking them all the time. Israel's not provoking them, right? They're not doing that. They're defending themselves, as we believe. Anyways, just thinking about the world is against this tiny little piece of property there in the Middle East. Now, okay, the alignment of the nations during the tribulation period, it'll form four great world powers. Now, notice this. First of all, the 10-kingdom federation of the European nations. Now, this is under the beast, which is the fourth great world empire of Daniel's prophecy. It's referred to as the revived Roman Empire, okay? So this will be coming together, having to do with, I believe, the European Union, other things like all gathered together in a pact. Secondly, the Northern Federation of Russia and her allies. Did you guys get, did you get an outline? Oh, no, oh, I'm sorry. I was wondering why you guys were, I'm sorry. We got through the hardest part, though. I'm like, okay, how many did I print? Oh, I've got a bunch of them. Sorry about that. I thought I gave you one. Oh, I gave you one. Okay. Sorry about it. Oh, she was writing stuff down. Sorry. There we go. Okay, where were we? We're at the bottom of the page. Okay, you got that? Okay. Now, the Northern Federation of Russia. Okay, we said that. Germany, Turkey, the Arab states, they're all going to converge upon them. Kings of the East. King of the South, North African powers, all of these things, turn the page there, added, intervene to destroy these world powers, the Lord will do that. Okay, so anyways, they all begin to come together and unify during this tribulation period of time, right? And that's what we're going to see here. Now, they see an apparent easy prey of Israel dwelling with her defenses down. Now, it's too much for the northern armies led by Russia. They'll invade the land, as prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, and in Daniel 11. Now this European federation will move in to protect Israel, but God will intervene and destroy the northern armies. The northern army is no longer a threat. The head of the European or Roman Empire seizes the opportunity to break his covenant and occupy the land. Okay, we read some of this or talked about this some of this already. But anyways, they're going to gather together in that. Now letter A there, notice, the kings of the south and north will move against the beast. Daniel 11, verse 40, I have here in the notes. He says, and at that time of the end shall the king of the south push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots, horsemen, many ships. He'll enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. So Jerusalem will truly be plundered at this time, the Bible says. Zechariah 12, you can read Zechariah 14. They'll be plundered. Those northern armies will be destroyed, though, by God himself. Okay, so we see the division and all this unrest. They'll come in to protect them. They'll come in to try and help out. They'll turn on Israel. And the Lord will ultimately destroy now all of them. Okay, now Ezekiel 39, notice this I have here in the notes as well. Therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back. Leave but the sixth part of thee, and I will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I'll give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, to the beasts of the field to be devoured. Thou shalt fall upon the open field. For I have spoken, saith the Lord God, I will send a fire on Magog and among them that dwell carelessly in the isles, and they shall know that I am the Lord. So God will handle this, right? These northern armies will truly be destroyed by God himself. And again, Israel sits there. You have Russia coming down. You have Turkey right there northwest of them. You have Germany. And these of the, what you would call maybe the Eastern European area, they're all going to come down, descend upon him and upon Israel. But ultimately, I love it, that God will turn them back. He'll destroy them, okay? Now, letter B, the armies of the beast will move into Palestine and take over. Now, Daniel 11, again, verse 41, they'll enter also, he says, into the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape out of his hand, Edom and Moab, the chief of the children of Ammon. Now these three have always been the enemy of Israel. Remember, constantly battling with them. He shall stretch forth his hand upon the countries. The land of Egypt shall not escape. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, over the precious things of Egypt. The Libyans, Ethiopians shall be at his steps. Okay, he will challenge, number one, by the kings of the east. He'll be challenged. He'll challenge. Tidings out of the east, out of the north, shall trouble him. He shall go forth with a great fury to destroy and utterly take and make utterly to make away, take away many. Typo there. And so thinking about that, number two, he will move his headquarters to Jerusalem. And that's what we talked about. He's going to move it right into Jerusalem. Hey, I've got a great idea. Let's just move it right into Jerusalem. Let's do this, and I want you to notice who I am. He'll plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas of the glorious holy mountain, Daniel 11, 45. And so seeing this and understanding it, again, just we've already covered some of this, but thinking through as these things transpire, God is allowing these things to play out. God is allowing these things to get into place. And he's going to ultimately come and just take over. We'll be with him, Lord willing. Letter C, notice the two remaining forces will then face each other. The king of the south has been defeated by the armies of the beast. We saw that. The northern confederacy has been defeated by the Lord. The kings of the east come with 200 million soldiers. Okay. Revelation 9 talks about that. Now the kings of the east, you think of the east primarily China. You think of that. I mean, I don't know, they boast, I don't know how many million men army even today. They basically have a draft, North Korea, South Korea, China, I think Indonesia, others over there. They have a draft. You turn 18 years old, maybe even younger than that. You go directly into the military. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Doesn't matter how you feel, doesn't matter what, if you got some kind of ailment or whatever. Our militaries are pretty stringent upon some of that. You got to be not have a lot of medical problems. But for them, I mean, they send almost every young man that turns 18 goes right into the military. So you think about this, however many million man army, they're going to march down from the east. Number four on that next page, the beast and the eastern armies prepare then to fight each other. Now the beast system fails and man will not be content to let, this man won't let someone else rule, basically. And so then here, notice lastly, the battle will be interrupted and terminated by Jesus Christ. Now, this is the best part here. Zechariah 14:3, then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Matthew 24, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. It's amazing to me. They see him, they mourn, and the Bible later says that they even curse him as they're being destroyed. I mean, this is man. Why are they not repenting? You see the heart of man, though, in all of this. They see him come in power and great glory. He came the first time with power and great glory, and they rejected him, didn't they? No, thank you. We don't want you. We don't want your kingdom. He comes in Matthew 13, in that area, presenting himself as the king of the Messiah. What do? They reject him. They say, no, thank you. He does these works by what? The prince of the devils, Beelzebub. He attributes, anytime you attribute the works of Christ or the Holy Spirit to that of the devil, you're committing a tremendous blasphemous sin. You know that. But as we think about, this is exactly what's going to happen. He will come again. Okay, looking at letter A there under that. He shall appear suddenly like a flash of lightning. Matthew 24, 27. As the lightning cometh out of the east, shineth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Appear suddenly like a flash of lightning. It's amazing to me. I read through Exodus again. And Moses went up to the Mount Sinai. You recall the clouds descended upon it. And there was thunder and lightnings. And when that happened, all the people, they fell down on their faces. Oh, they worship. I mean, you ever been near a lightning strike real close? I mean, this scares the tar out of you. You think about the power, though, beyond that he's going to manifest. But he gives the likening to that of a flash of lightning. Very sudden. Letter B, it shall come slowly and visibly. Okay, now you're still there in Revelation 19. Go back to verse 11 here. And I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. He that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were a flame of fire. Remember the prophets recalled that in the Old Testament? And on his head were many crowns. There they are. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. That's our redemption. And his name is called the Word of God. Isn't that amazing? John chapter 1. And the armies, verse 14, which were in heaven, followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. Hebrews 4:12. Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. With that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. Notice, King of kings, Lord of lords. Wonder who that could be. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. And we saw that, and we read some of that already. Okay, so you think about it. He will come slowly and visibly. By the way, Revelation 6 says there's an individual who rides in on a white horse. Right? That's not Christ. That's the Antichrist. Again, remember we saw that that visual of the parallels of the Christ and the Antichrist. He's imitating Christ so clearly. And again, we see that Jesus makes mention of being careful of imposters and imitators. What's he say? There will come into your flock wolves dressed as sheep. Now, by the way, he gives only one indicator of how you can tell they're a wolf. They're so disguised. They're so well disguised as a sheep. What's the one thing? Their fruit. I mean, you can't even detect it until you look out the window and see them grazing and they're eating the other sheep. And you go, I don't think sheep do that. They're not supposed to do that. Isn't that amazing? They're so well disguised. Now, this imitation will be clearly pushed aside or revealed as a fake, as a fraud, and he'll come in riding on that white horse. Notice letter C, he will attract all the fighting to himself. Now, again, verse 19, Revelation 19:19, and I saw the beast, kings of the earth, their armies, notice, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. They said, hey, here's a good idea. Let's all get together and fight against him. How foolish. Isn't that what man does today, though? How foolish. You're fighting against the Creator God with all power and might and authority. And, well, I'm going to fight against him. I don't worship him. I won't listen to him. I won't follow him. And they're going to gather themselves together against the Lord after even seeing his might and power of his appearance. Isaiah saw him lifted up, Isaiah 6, to say, and he said, woe is me, I am undone. I am in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He saw the might and power of Christ. Again, okay. Now, they want, number one under this, they will have time to make agreements. And number two, they will join together to fight Christ. They'll say, you know what? Hey, we should stop fighting each other and let's gather to fight him. Let's fight them. Let's get together and fight. We see some of that today with the all-inclusive thing of everybody. You know, hey, let's stop arguing against each other and let's fight against the people that are against us. And it's all over the place. Have you seen it? I mean, everywhere and everything. The hospital, my wife was telling me, they have it plastered all over. In this hospital, we accept everybody. Well, good. That's a good thing. But you know what they meant. And they had the rainbow under that statement. I mean, they're pushing it all over in our faces. Anyways, okay, letter D, the beast and the false prophet will be taken, okay? Don't miss this part, verse 20. They are taken, and the ones that wrought miracles, they deceived them that received the mark of the beast. Notice this, they were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Lord willing, we'll get to this a little next week about that. But what happens in the end times, those people that are cast out, they're cast out into a place of torment. Okay, again. And he casts these two individuals out so that all can see that. And he shows that they are utterly and ultimately defeated. Okay. And so we see understanding that. Okay, we'll get to that a little next week. Letter E there. The armies will be destroyed. Now notice they will kill each other. They kill each other. Verse 21. The remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. Now you say, he literally has a sword coming out of his mouth killing people. I think there's some truth to that, but also there is some, you want to call it, he's using that as maybe an analogy or something, if you want to say, figurative speech. But the literal words he's going to speak are the words of this book. That's the sword, right? That's what we have. Ephesians 6, Hebrews 4 talks about the sword is the word of God. And he's going to speak, and those words are going to condemn and destroy these people. They're just going to cringe when they hear the words of the word of God. And just the power of the word. Again, don't forget Hebrews 4:12. There is power. The word of God is powerful. Okay, there's power behind it. I'd encourage you again, study the word, memorize the word, because it carries with it great power. How much more coming out of our King of Kings and Lord of Lords? They'll kill each other. Zechariah 14. Again, this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people. Zechariah 14, verse 12. That have fought against Jerusalem, their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. These people are literally dissolving. Not a pretty picture. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. They shall lay hold every one on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver, apparel in great abundance. No matter what they do, they're going to try and gather things together and put things together. It's not going to work. You know, man tries to use money, gold and silver, to purchase and buy and get his way out of trouble all the time. It ain't going to work. You know, nothing's going to help. And so we see they'll fill the valley with blood. Revelation 14, if you're still there, let's go there real quick. Revelation 14, verse 20, notice this. And the winepress was trodden without the city. And the blood came out of the winepress, even under the horse bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. Okay, up to the horse's bridle. That's you ever stood next to a horse? I mean, an actual, not a midget horse or a mini horse, whatever you call those, but an actual horse. I mean, we're talking up here, right? You're talking up here. That's pretty, one, that's pretty foul, pretty nasty, but that's the slaughter that's going to happen. They'll give their flesh to the fowls, as we just read that. And very interesting to study the Word of God, and I'd encourage you to do that. The fowls, the birds, what he talks about with birds, eagles, ravens, doves. There's always something likening to a bird, right? We're to mount up with wings like eagles. I mean, Noah let out, you know, the dove and the raven and all those things. Thinking about it, he's going to use that. The fowls will devour these people and the flesh. Okay, letter F, we'll be done here. The devil then will be bound for 1,000 years. Okay, now Revelation 20, look at this, verses 1 through 3. He'll be bound for 1,000 years. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Notice, there's no he gives all the names of this guy. So there's no denying who he is. The devil? No. The dragon? The serpent? Okay. Satan? And he bounds him for 1,000 years. Very interesting. This battle of Armageddon will open the way for the kingdom. Now we're going to look at that next week. In Zechariah 14, verse 4, that the Lord Jesus will return from heaven, destroy the armies and the instruments of war, and bring in an age of true peace on earth for 1,000 years. That's called the millennium, 1,000-year reign. You say, well, we're going to live for 1,000 years? Oh, much longer than that. We'll have our bodies glorified. We'll have no sickness, pain, disease, none of it. And we will get to enjoy. Now, what are we going to do during that time? We're not exactly sure, but we get to enjoy the Lord get to know people, get to know those around us. And reigning for 1,000 years, not literal reigning, you know, that would be terrible, but reign for and with him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And notice the true peace that comes during this time. No more devil, no more sickness, no more perversion, none of that nasty stuff that he brings in to destroy us. Lastly, here I have Jesus is coming again. He's coming soon. We can be assured of this fact. He may come today for his own at the rapture. We're not sure. Are you prepared to meet him? Are you doing all that you can to help others to prepare for his coming? Okay. Now, Lord willing, I believe wholeheartedly, we will not be around particularly for a lot of these things in the tribulation period time. And we'll get to see the great victory, though, through this battle of Armageddon. Praise God that the Lord will take matters into his own hands and handle all of this. It'll be a tremendous time, tremendous time. Sadly, though, as we seek or look at, consequently, the flip side of it, there's going to be millions upon millions of people that will ultimately be destroyed and cast into hell. So we're working and trying our very best to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said that. And share the gospel with these folks. See them saved. And let them know, hey, I don't want to see you go through that. You know, the number one topic that comes up, in, at least with me, talking with people, is end time stuff. I mean, you talk all day till you're blue in the face about justification, sanctification, redemption. People just don't really care. I mean, they do. But what do they want to talk about? What do you think Revelation is talking about? What do you think is going to happen with the beast and the false? They know what they're talking about. And this is an opportunity for me and for us to maybe sharpen our skills up on some of this stuff and learn and understand and grow in this area, know what to say. And then ultimately come back in that conversation and say, hey, sir, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's what matters the most. That's what I want you to know. So you don't have to endure all of these things. Do you know him? Let me share the gospel with you. I know you folks know that, okay? All right, well, we'll stop there this evening. But I want to encourage you with that. Listen, we're on the winning side. The victory is ours. Amen? We're not a group of people that's down and out, walking around, hunched over. Well, don't know what's going to happen. No, we know what's going to happen. We have a clear understanding of it. The Bible's clear. If we'll study our Bibles, we'll know it, and we'll have the victory in Christ. Okay. Lord, again, thank you for the time this evening and be able to share some of this with the folks. I pray that you'd help us. I thank you that we can have this information, Lord, through thy precious, infallible word. We can use it. I think of the many opportunities I've had to talk to people about some of this, and maybe I wasn't as in depth to all of this information, not studied up on it as I should have been. I think about some of this, and Lord, how that we can use this to reach others for Christ, for you. Help us to do that. In these days is leading up to this, we believe to be very soon. Help us to be, to do our part, to be the witnesses we should be. And Father, thank you again for revealing to us that we have the victory in you. What a joy to know that. We thank you now, Lord. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen.